Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, August 6th. Coming up, a trip to the produce section of the grocery store can take you around the world. An exploration of why our food travels so far to get to us. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Urbana is taking steps to address funding gaps for programs that serve the area's homeless population. IPM's Mayansar has more.
The city council is expected to set aside $2.2 million for multiple organizations, including See You at Home, Strides Shelter, and the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. Braden Belcher is the city's grants manager. He says those groups will support people who don't currently have a place to stay.
An estimated 500 individuals experiencing homelessness will receive improved access to public benefits and resources. 200 individuals will be served through expanded street outreach. 600 will be served through case management and housing navigation services.
Belcher says the money would also help construct new, affordable rental units and open up shelter beds. And with uncertainty about funding from the state and federal governments, he says the community needs to develop local housing solutions. May Antar, IPM News.
A defense workers' strike continues at Boeing factories in the St. Louis area. Members of the local machinists union representing Boeing workers at plants in St. Louis and suburbs in Missouri and Illinois went on strike Monday after rejecting the company's second contract offer on Sunday. These locations primarily focus on the company's defense arm, developing fighter jets for the U.S. military. Lathaniel Johnson is an assembly mechanic at the Boeing location in Berkeley, Missouri.
Now, I just hope one day that the union and the company can come together and negotiate, that they can come to agreement that we can end this and we can continue building the best fighters in the world.
In its second contract offer, Boeing offered a 20% general wage increase over 4 years, which is less than what the union proposed. Johnson says he is prepared to strike until Boeing offers a new contract. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is not ruling out redrawing Illinois' congressional maps in response to Texas. Alex Degman reports.
Texas House Democrats have been in Illinois protesting the mid-cycle remap of their congressional districts that President Trump requested. They want to eliminate 5 Democratic districts so Republicans can maintain their slim House majority. Pritzker reiterated that Texas Republicans are cheating, but he wouldn't rule out trying the same thing.
All of us have to take a hard look at what the effect of that cheating is on democracy. And that means we've all got to stand up and do the right thing. So as far as I'm concerned, everything is on the table.
If Pritzker greenlights a new redistricting push, it could be difficult to squeeze out more seats for Democrats. They already hold a 14-3 majority over Republicans. I'm Alex Degman.
The last of 4 convicted ComEd co-conspirators is headed to federal prison for an illegal scheme to influence one-time House Speaker Michael Madigan. Dave McKinney has more.
Jay Doherty was the consummate political insider and, as prosecutors put it, a vital conduit for the Madigan bribery scheme. Doherty lobbied for ComEd and used hundreds of thousands of utility dollars to secretly employ Madigan's best political workers as sham ghost subcontractors. The scheme aimed to help ComEd pass legislation and, in Doherty's own words on a government wire, to, quote, keep Mike Madigan happy. Judge Manus Shaw sentenced Doherty to 1 year in prison, slightly less than the 15 months prosecutors wanted. Doherty said his actions were wrong, but Shaw described Doherty and his company as the, quote, metaphoric cash in an envelope that amounted to bribes.
This is Dave McKinney.
Still to come, a trip to the produce section of the grocery store can take you around the world. An exploration of why our food travels so far to get to us. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies with a high of 86 degrees and a southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 67 degrees, southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 89 degrees, south wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 69 degrees, a south wind 5 miles per hour. And for Friday, sunny with a high of 90 degrees and a south wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, while national headlines scream about teacher shortages, the data shows much more nuance. Some Illinois schools are hiring more than ever, while others can't fill open and necessary jobs, especially in rural parts of the state. We'll discuss it in detail to understand what's real and what's not. I'm Christine Herman. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The interest in local food systems, like farmers markets and direct farm-to-consumer sales, is on the rise. But the U.S. is still more reliant on imported foods than ever before. Harvest Public Media's Molly Ashford is kicking off a series of stories about local food by asking why our food travels so far to get to our plate.
It's nearing 100 degrees outside of Grand Island, Nebraska, but Billy Ward is decked out in a heavy coat and hat. Ward is the manager of one of five Lineage cold storage facilities in Nebraska. He is walking me through a blast freezer, the coldest part of the 250,000-square-foot warehouse.
In this facility, in this room right here, it's negative 20.
Almost all of the product stored at this particular facility is beef from nearby packing plants. It stays fresh here, and then it's shipped around the world.
For instance, today we have two Ivory Coast going out. We have an Egypt. We have a Korea. We also do Vietnam.
Imported food also sits in warehouses just like this one before heading to U.S. grocery stores. Cold storage facilities and refrigerated trucks make up what's known as the cold chain. That's the network of temperature-controlled storage and transport services that keep perishable foods fresh. Industry groups estimate that up to 70% of all food consumed in the U.S. interacts with the cold chain. Sarah Stickler, the CEO of the Global Cold Chain Alliance, says most people don't think about how their food travels.
When we talk about kind of farm to table, whether that be protein, whether that be harvest, you know, it's coming from a farm and it's going through a process. And most of the time that process includes cold storage.
The cold chain makes agricultural trade possible. And in recent years, the U.S. has become increasingly reliant on imported food, particularly fruits and vegetables. Luis Ribera, who researches North American trade at Texas A&M University, says that's led to a growing agricultural trade deficit. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates it could reach nearly $50 billion in the current fiscal year.
There's a reason why we have a trade deficit, because we consume a lot more products and we have more purchasing power than the neighboring country.
59% of fruits and 35% of fresh vegetables purchased by U.S. consumers are imported from other countries, according to the USDA. Ribera says the deficit is increasing because the products imported to the U.S. are worth more than what we export.
Fruits and vegetables are more expensive than cotton and sorghum and wheat, for example.
That's led some people to ask if the U.S. could become more self-reliant in growing its own produce. Chad Hart, an agronomist with Iowa State University, said the answer is sometimes an obvious no.
We're bringing in things like papayas and mango and, you know, a lot of fruits and vegetables that realistically, we can't grow here.
Hart says the land and climate simply isn't suitable for growing things like bananas or coffee on a large scale. If farmers shifted priorities, they could hypothetically grow more specialty crops like berries or garlic or squash. But Hart says it's often more profitable to stick to one or two crops. And in the Midwest, that's typically corn and soybeans.
These crops are offering the most opportunities to gain markets and to be profitable for farmers.
In the produce section of this grocery store in Omaha, Nebraska, customers pick up products from all over the U.S. and the world. Cherries from Washington, apples from California, and tomatoes from Mexico. Hart says people in the U.S. have grown accustomed to getting the produce they want when they want it.
If U.S. consumers want bananas from Panama, well then, by God, grocery stores will figure out how to get bananas from Panama.
No matter the season or how far it had to travel. I'm Molly Ashford, Harvest Public Media.
This story is part of Food Routes, a new series from Harvest Public Media about local food. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Olivia Mizell, Alex Degman, Dave McKinney, and Molly Ashford. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.